Did Jesus believe that life inside the womb was less valuable than life outside the womb? Or how about this? Would Jesus have supported elective abortions? Well, that's the claim some are making. Let's see where these claims come from.
Jesus believed in the Jewish Torah, and he kept the Jewish Torah, and he taught the Jewish Torah.
Okay, now this is the only portion of this video that actually makes an accurate claim. Jesus believed, kept, and taught the Jewish Torah. That's the first five books of the Old Testament, and this is a true statement. Which, by the way, is why we can adamantly and confidently assess that Jesus was against the practice of homosexuality and saw it as an abominable practice, defaming the image of God and his creation. But that's for another video. Let's continue.
And the Jewish Torah is pretty clear that the woman is a living human being, and if she is killed, it's murder. If the fetus is killed, it's not a human being. If anything, it's the property of the husband. One is murdered and the other's not. And so I think that it's clear that you save the life of the woman because the other, the fetus isn't alive, is not a human being yet.
Now here's where things start to devolve into intellectual dishonesty. The argument presented in the video relies on a culturally biased interpretation of Exodus 21, verses 22 through 25, to claim that the life of a fetus or an unborn child is less valuable than that of the mother. Let's actually break down the passage and the Hebrew terms used to reveal the actual meaning. Here is what Exodus 21, 22 through 25 says. If men get into a fight and hurt a woman with child, so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. So the passage describes a situation where a pregnant woman is struck during a fight, causing her to give birth prematurely. And here's where the debate comes in. Now, the key phrase to focus on here is, yet no harm follows in the aftermath. The question becomes, who is the harm referring to? Is it just the mother? Or does it include both the mother and the baby? And here's where we see the valuable importance of a literal translation of Hebrew terminology. Understanding the original Hebrew words in this passage is so crucial. Let's take a look. The word for child here is yeled, which means child or offspring, translated in the Old King James as fruit of the loom or womb, excuse me. This talks about the child that comes forth from the woman. It's never translated embryo, and it's often referring to in the Bible a child that's already born. In other words, the fruit of the womb is a living child. Now, another term here that's important is yasa. It means to come out of something. By the way, never once in the entire Old Testament does this word refer to something dying unless it is directly followed by a qualifier that indicates death. Further evidence is that the Old Testament verb normally used for the phrase miscarriage or stillbirth is not yasa, but shakal. Moses used this word shakal to describe an actual miscarriage later in the book of Exodus, while using yasa earlier in Exodus 21 to actually describe the live birth of a living human being. By recognizing the precise wording here, we see that the text is more likely describing a scenario in which a child is prematurely born alive or comes out of the mother a living being due to some traumatic incident, not a miscarriage or a stillbirth. So when the law refers to harm that follows, it's logical to conclude that it's referring to both the mother and the child because their lives are equally valuable. If no harm follows, whether to the mother or the child, the perpetrator is fined for the initial blow. However, if harm does follow, whether the mother or the child is permanently damaged or even killed, the penalty escalates to life for life. And this interpretation aligns with scholars who argue that the harm, or asoan in the Hebrew, applies to both the mother and the prematurely born baby, as the text does not specify that harm must be limited to the mother alone. It's also important to note that the pro-abortion argument in the video relies heavily on interpretations from rabbinic tradition, particularly in the Mishnah or the rabbinical commentary of the Jewish faith. And this prioritizes the mother's life over the fetus. However, several factors are crucial here. First, the Mishnah is not scripture. It represents later Jewish legal commentary and interpretation. While the Mishnah does permit the fetus to be removed in order to save the mother's life, this was seen as a tragic necessity in cases where both lives were at risk, not as an endorsement of elective abortion as we know it. Even within the Mishnah's guidance, the primary concern was preserving life. The notion that ancient Jewish law would condone modern-day abortion, where the majority of cases, around 99% or more, are elective and not related to the mother's health. This is a significant misrepresentation of the text and its intent. Secondly, I think it's also important to just state that Jesus frequently disagreed with his contemporary Jewish teachers from the law, at times calling them, sons of the devil and synagogue of Satan. Just because an ancient Jewish teacher interpreted a passage one way doesn't mean that Jesus agreed with those interpretations. After all, he was the perfect God-man, man not from birth, but from conception. It was God and man in the womb. In fact, it was in the womb that Jesus and John the Baptist had a spiritual connection. If you remember that fateful moment when Mary and Elizabeth met, there were no Jewish women in the first century walking around Bethlehem looking for the Planned Parenthood to get rid of the burdensome baby that they were carrying. Thank God. I would even say that even the most liberal ancient Jewish thought and commentaries would never have accepted abortion for convenience as is practiced in today's modern context. And so it seems clear to me that Bart Ehrman's argument both represents the scriptural text and the historical context. By distorting Exodus 21, he attempts to shoehorn an agenda that is foreign to the moral and legal framework of the Torah. In reality, the Torah, and by extension, the teachings of Jesus, upholds the sanctity both of the mother and the unborn child as equal in value. This is yet another example of a modern agenda being imposed on ancient biblical texts, twisting them to support a view that is not present in the original context. This is yet another example of a modern liberal agenda being imposed on biblical texts, twisting them to support a view that is not present in the original context. So friends, how important it is to know the Word of God and to study it with open hearts and open minds in its original context. And I want to encourage you, don't believe everything you hear out there just because it's said by someone who has letters after their name. Do your homework, be a Berean, search the scriptures, and let's follow Jesus together.